Hello, everyone. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. This episode is with Joe McAdam. Episodes with Joe are very fun, and we talk about stuff. Moving on, this Friday, March 1st, 2019, I'll be recording You, Me, Them, Everybody live at the Wonderland Ballroom in Washington, D.C., so please come out to that. That's at our regular time at 7:30. We run until about 9:30 at night, and then we're recording another 11-hour marathon on Saturday, March 2nd, at Full Service Radio. So I'll be sharing links for that. Listen live. It's not a thing you can attend. Just listen. It's a thing to listen to. If you listen to it later, awesome. I appreciate it. Without further ado, here's a little chat with Joe McAdam. Let's start with your show at Dynasty Typewriter, a show that you did in a 10-hour marathon or 12-hour marathon?
We had a 12-hour Kiss-themed marathon to promote it. Yeah,
which I watched part of, and it was very absurd and enjoyable. You did the marathon to sell out a show at Dynasty Typewriter, and during the marathon and before the marathon, you were very concerned that you bit off more than you could chew. And then when the show actually came, it sold out.
Yeah, we ended up, I didn't realize how many people just buy tickets the day of. It seems like, what? Come on, get it early.
So the reason why I wanted to begin with that is, how did you get the word out about this show?
Just like, social media, friends, and having, built up enough goodwill, I guess, that people feel comfortable promoting it without me, begging or something.
How much of your day do you feel, not day, sorry, that's not the right phrase, but how much of your time do you think about how you don't want to promote the thing you're doing that night or the thing that you're promoting coming up?
Well, it sucks to have to, for this specifically, it's me and Chris, and we had to write a show, memorize it, perform it, all these elements of, the show itself. And then it's like, oh, plus I have to be, my own, marketing person. It feels awful. I hate it. It's the worst. I wish that never, ever, ever came up.
If for some odd reason people just went to every show,
yeah,
and you didn't have to promote it, do you think you would perform live more often?
Absolutely, yeah.
Why do we both feel like this? Because I've definitely scaled back just so I don't have to invite people to things.
Well, you can only do so much. You can only invite people so many times to some show or whatever. And I feel like doing this last one, I was like, okay, I kind of cashed in a good chunk of people's favors or goodwill towards what I was doing.
Yeah.
So I can't do that weekly. I can't do that monthly. And so, we're talking about doing another one. It's like, all right, maybe in 5 months we can do that again.
So you're not even thinking quarterly. You're thinking twice a year.
Well, also, I feel like we have to write an entirely new show, which is hard. know what I mean?
Okay, the sold-out theater is what, 200 people?
Yeah, probably. We probably did a little less than that, though. But
so
yeah,
200 people saw a show, and you're like, well, got to start from scratch, where if you just performed it, 30 miles away, no one will have seen the show.
No, yeah, that's true. And I think that's part of what we'll be doing is, putting together another show to take on the road and see if we can plan a little road trip. And I don't know. I think eventually it's just okay, we have a few versions of the show, and then we can kind of mix and match and do a hits package to bring on the road or whatever. It's just we have to write so much to make a good show. We probably didn't use, 4 or 5 things that we wrote in that stretch leading up to the show. It's that's not funny enough. Mm-hmm. So we had to throw it away. So it's it takes a long time to get something good enough that I feel like I'm okay asking people to go see. I don't want them to go see a pile of shit,
How long was the show? How many minutes?
It went a little long. It was probably a little over an hour and a half.
Okay, so you're writing a feature film and you're performing a feature film.
Well, we probably did about maybe 40 minutes of material, and then we had a couple stand-up guests.
Okay, but that's not nothing. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, it was a bunch of minutes.
I saw 0 Instagram posts from you about this.
Oh, I'm just too busy. I never think about Instagram. That's a huge problem, but I just never think about it.
I saw mutual friends of ours that went to the show post on their Instagram feeds about how great the show was and the sold out sign. And that was very, very nice to see. And in a weird way, it made me know that you're successful because you yourself didn't promote your own show.
Well, it's like I would if I don't know. I never think about Instagram. I'm always, if I'm like ranking, I guess, social media, it's like, okay, I basically think about Twitter. Mm-hmm. I kind of think about Facebook to promote. And I'm in Instagram, I'm just like, oh, it's a picture of my niece or something. Like that's, I like that.
I
never think about it like that. I'm usually not thinking about it in those terms.
I promoted my last marathon a lot on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, and I have not been on Instagram since that marathon, and it's definitely made my life better. At least I think it has.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's better to not – I mean, I don't know. Just being caught up with every second of your day on social media will make you go insane and make you feel like shit all the time.
Okay, but now I deleted Twitter from my phone like a year ago, but now I'm checking the Twitter mobile browser on my phone to replace all the Instagram stuff I was looking at. And I think I know why. Like, okay, did you watch the Academy Awards last night?
No.
Okay. There was a guy on the red carpet, and he had a real cool look. It was like a tuxedo top with a big flowy skirt bottom, right? And it's inspired.
I saw that on Twitter, yeah.
Exactly. And to me, it instantly made me think of the Smashing Pumpkins Machina press photos, because Billy Corgan, James Iha, and Jimmy Chamberlain had the same getup on.
That was done already by the Smashing Pumpkins. You're right.
So like all I wanted to do was like, hey, remember the Pumpkins from 20 years ago? So like that's how I'm using Twitter, and that made me feel good for like 30 seconds maybe.
Yeah.
But and maybe I'm just trying to validate my extensive knowledge on really bad or really great music press photos of the last 35 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know you want to strut and you want to show off your skills because you remember Smashing Pumpkins press photos for an album that maybe, like, I mean, it wasn't that the one that was like a digital release and no, it didn't even have CDs?
No, that was Machina Part 2, Friends and Enemies of Modern Music.
See, this is where you've got me beat, yeah. you know a lot of the ins and outs of the Pumpkins history that I thought I was well-versed, but I think you've got a leg up. And, you know, that's where you just got to, strut your stuff, show up on the internet.
And clearly, I'm more than happy to show off. I'm clearly happy to show my knowledge of Billy and Friends' back catalog. But the problem is I'm just contributing to the Nazi site because Jack likes Nazis, and I know that. And I know I shouldn't be doing that, but I don't know if I feel like I'm going to be missing out if I don't mention, like, hey, 20 years ago, this artistic director thought this would be a good look for these three gentlemen from Illinois and one woman from Canada. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing. Sure, I get the whole, like, I'm just strutting my bullshit knowledge, but, like, what am I trying to achieve?
It's just like you want to communicate with people, right?
I guess
it's like being part of the conversation.
Breaking it down, that is absolutely it. I just want to communicate with people.
But there's other ways to do it, and it's like Twitter is not the most satisfying way to do it.
Okay, what is the most?
It's just
okay. I don't live with you. You don't live with me. I'm not. You live on the other side of the country. Who else am I going to – am I going to just call somebody and go, hey?
I mean, that's what we're doing right now.
Yeah. But, like, this is important because it's recorded, so we're the media. And, like, I realize –
this is important. You're right.
I realize the absurdity of my statement. I do. But there's something about the visual, like using the photos, using the GIFs, using the videos – that is somewhat satisfying that you can't get from a phone call.
Yeah, you're right. And there's just like, it just sucks that the only way or the most widely used and accepted way to do it does contribute to a shitty Nazi site or whatever you want to call it. It's just, it's bad. There could be a better version of it. And we haven't figured it out yet.
I don't know if irony is the right word, but if we had more knowledge, if we could see the forest from the trees, both of us would have succeeded more in our careers if we had promoted ourselves like someone that doesn't feel bad about using, that's not from the Midwest. If we promoted ourselves without guilt, without shame, we would maybe be at the point in our careers where we would not need to use social media to promote ourselves because we would have publicists to do that for us.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe this is a question that I'm not like, it's not leading anywhere. I'm just actually curious. Who is someone that was a big early adapter and self-promoter that is good?
It depends on how we think of promotion, because the person I was thinking of was Stephen Colbert. And the other person I was thinking of is Conan O'Brien. Now, those gentlemen are both like 15 years older than us, but they both succeeded pretty early in their 20s, definitely Conan more than Colbert. And now they don't have to use Twitter and Facebook and Instagram to get people to come out to their nightly shows on network television or cable television. But they
found success in a world before social media, and then they can, you know. There's a difference between like somebody who made a career post social media. That's what I'm asking.
Here we go. My favorite film of 2018, The Gentleman That Made Eighth Grade, Bo Burnham. He no longer needs Twitter.
Correct. Yeah, he doesn't need that, and he kind of made a career in the YouTube internet, age.
So Bo Burnham, that's my example.
Okay, so I think there's one guy, at least that we found.
There's one man
who's doing something good. Who you like their work, and they promoted themselves early through the internet.
Yeah, and when I see his stuff, I don't feel like he's trying to sell me something bad.
Yeah. So I think it's rare. I think it's a very rare thing, and I think the elements that draw somebody to being like an online self-promoter usually don't line up with being the funniest person in the world.
Yeah. I'm not. Yeah, I know. You're right.
I do think there's obviously cases where, you know, you can cite Bo Burnham as he's somebody that came up like that and then is funny. But I think he also came up when he was a kid, and he's learned tons since then, and he's kind of just matured and developed in the internet age in a way that we've kind of never seen anybody else do, which is an interesting thing. But I don't feel comfortable promoting. I didn't even want to do Twitter. It took me years after finding out about it and it existing because I thought it was stupid.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not doing this. This is stupid. And then I start, and then it's way too late. The gold rush is over. Shit my dad said already was on TV. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was way too late. So there's no thing that you can, I don't know. Everyone tried to tell me that Snapchat was going to be the thing, and I was already, you know, almost 30 years old. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing Snapchat. And nobody, I don't know a single person that watches stuff on it.
I don't think the format exists anymore.
How are you supposed to find the stuff? I don't even know. I have no idea. How are you supposed to know which ones you're supposed to jump on? I'm not going to do everything.
Yeah, but I'm able to share the Smashing Pumpkins photo on that one site, so I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's the nice quality of it. I think we're still trying to figure out a better version of it, though.
You know,
it's not perfect by any means.
I don't think this is depressing, and I don't think I'm going to say anything new or revelatory, but at the end of the day, this sounds so like old man NPR wisdom, CBS shit. Like I'm going to fucking close 60 minutes with these thoughts. At the end of the day, all we're trying to do is have a crowd for two people to talk in a room. And that's all it is.
Yeah, that's all. Big deal.
That's so dumb. Like I feel so dumb verbalizing my thoughts.
Yeah, they're terrible thoughts.
But if I was able to have a room, and I've done this so many times, even talking to you, I've done this a million times. I want my perfect 40 to 60 person room, and then I'm on the stage talking to another human being, and I could do that five nights a week. I'm good for life, and that pays my rent.
Yeah, if that could be a job, that'd be very cool.
That is the job. That's the job I want.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, how do you, there's, that's not like a, you have to do every piece of that, you know, all the work that goes into that all by yourself to get that to be a thing. And it still might not be a thing.
I see, here's the thing. If I could do all the parts of it that don't involve promoting it, I would do it. Like, I think I know I could do it, and I know I could do it well, and I know I would do it with joy.
So it's just the promotion that you don't like?
It's just the promotion that I don't like. I like literally every single aspect of putting on a show except telling people about the show.
You like doing the getting the lights and the levels and
yeah.
The booking and the emailing, all that stuff. I'm just like, ugh, enough. I don't want to do it.
Oh, I love it. So I was a lighting crew manager in high school. So I literally like the lighting placement. My biggest complaint with indie wrestling, this is not a joke, is the poor lighting situation they have at all these events.
You should talk to somebody about this.
I have. I love doing the sound check if it's an interesting room, because I used to be in bands. I like playing with audio. This is not a joke. I don't mind cleaning the theater afterwards because I like seeing the theater from a different point of view. I like setting up the chairs. There's not one aspect of putting on the show except promoting the show.
Well, then, I mean, is it even possible to be like, all right, I will hire a marketing person for the show?
No.
That will just do everything like that, and then I don't have to touch it.
Here's why I don't think – I think that is possible in theory, but in reality, I don't think it is, because I don't want to – I also, when I say dealing with the promotion, I also mean dealing with a publicist, because I have yet to meet a publicist who could do that, that we would be on the same wavelength. Does that make sense?
Sure, because they want to – they talk in, you know, market speak and all that, and
exactly.
They would – mangle the message of what your show is or the appeal of what your show is.
Yeah.
I get it.
So no, the answer is no.
Yeah. Well, you have to do, I mean, I don't know, cause I'm not good at this. I'm not good at promotion. I thought doing a 12-hour marathon dressed up like Gene Simmons would help. And we sold 10 tickets that day. It's, you know, like that's not, I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea. So, but I think, if someone could see that and then understand what that's, what my idea of what the messaging is, I would hope somebody is smart enough to be like, okay, I'll take this and mold it into something that people actually like.
Yeah.
You know, find a way to make that an appealing message in a wider scale.
I think that's what's
I don't know.
I think that's what's so appealing to me about things like PBS and NPR, because it's like, yeah, we don't care. We're not going to. We don't care if you listen, like whatever. We're going to make the thing that's good, the end.
Yeah, that wouldn't it be nice if that's just how shit works? I would love it.
Now we really sound like two old men.
Well, yeah, but I mean, look at us. What do you want? I don't know what you want
men.
From me.
We're not young men. We're middlemen.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think I'm already like five generations older than somebody who's coming up now, I feel like.
I think Twitter could still be fun if you just posted like cool butts every day that weren't sexist
right?
in some way. Just here's a cool picture of a cool butt.
Yeah, there's accounts that do that.
Yeah.
What I follow, there's really a handful of accounts, and I follow a lot of people out of just, you know, professional courtesy. But because really all I want is Larry King, I want George Wallace, and there is I think it's a bot account that just tweets out the titles of Japanese porn videos. And those are my accounts, and those are the ones that I actually like, and then everything else is just like, okay, they're friends, or I feel like I should follow them for professional reasons. But those are the ones. Those are the big ones.
Yeah.
And that's all it should be, and that we shouldn't feel obligated to have to follow all these people. But it, you know, you see, if you ever see somebody that like they follow one person, you're like, oh fuck you, like you can't help it. You just want to be like, oh, who do you think you are? Who you're so special? Okay, whatever.